July 13th, 2014, Sunday morning service. Today we are going to study starting from the Hebrews chapter 7 verse 20. And as much as he was not made priest without an oath, for they have become priests without an oath, but he with an oath, by him who said to him, "The Lord has sworn and will not relent, you are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." Here he compares the priesthood of Levi and Melchizedek. What it says is Levi did not have an oath, but Melchizedek and Jesus have an oath. This having an oath is somewhat foreign to Japanese concept, but it is more like having a guarantor. If you're a landlord, which I'm not, you always have a guarantor. So if the tenant disappears with unpaid rent, and they can go after the guarantor and ask for the rent and other fee to clean up the apartment. So having a guarantor and not having a guarantor makes a big difference. And having an oath and not having an oath makes a big difference too, especially if the oath comes from God. For example, we should also look at the Genesis chapter 22, verse 16. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son. Blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants, as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." This is another oath made by God himself, and everything God has sworn, everything came to pass. This is a good example. And there's a bad example too that we see in Genesis 25:31. But Jacob said, "Sell me your birthright as of this day." And Esau said, "Look, I am about to die, so what is this birthright to me?" Then Jacob said, "Swear to me as of this day." So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. So this is a bad example of power of having an oath and or swearing. We have learned before that Edom from Esau means a red thing, and also Sardis from the Revelation also means a red thing. So the church of Sardis might do what Esau did, which is the selling of the birthright. In order to obtain the eternal life, having an oath is an important thing. We could also look at Matthew 5:33. "Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord.' But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of great king. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black." So we need to understand the weight of oath. If you don't understand the weight of oath, you won't understand why Jesus said not to swear at all. I think heaven can also mean the church. So all the Christians are considered to be descendants of Abraham, which are also stars in heaven and sands by the sea. So that's why I think the heaven could also mean the church, because that's where the stars are. And I think that those who swear by the church will see some tribulations in the time to come. So do not swear lightly like Esau did. I am afraid that that's what's going to happen to the church of Sardis in the end time. So please remember the weight of swearing and what Jesus said about swearing. Going back to the Hebrews 7:22. "By so much more Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant. And there were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing, but he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood." The priests of Levi are not forever, but because they all die, but priesthood of Jesus Christ is the only one that stands forever, thus the real priesthood. From verse 25, Therefore, he is also able to save the uttermost, those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. So Jesus is alive and always interceding for us, and that's why we are all saved when we were heading to destruction. Interceding is to stand in the gap between God and people. You can see from the Old Testament that God is so holy that people cannot go near him, and people were afraid of his wrath, and that's why Moses interceded for his people. People do so many terrible things like worshiping a calf when Moses goes up to the mountain. So that's why they need someone to stand in the gap between God and people. Not sure if this is a good example, but if we were to commit a crime and go to a trial, we will have a lawyer to defend us. And a lawyer defends not only good people, but also bad people too. Recently, I saw in the news about a man named Katayama. He was arrested for getting into other people's computers to manipulate the information. And for a long time, he denied that he was the one who committed the crime. But one day, he finally admitted his crime, and he told his lawyer that he no longer needs to represent him because now that everybody knows that he's a real criminal. But the lawyer responded to Katayama saying that he would not quit defending him even if he was the real criminal, because it is still a lawyer's job to also find some good thing about his client and to give room for mercy. And I was touched by the lawyer's comment. But Jesus Christ is the same. He defends us, not because we are sinless, but he defends the sinners. Nevertheless, he's interceding for us every day while we continue to make the same stupid mistakes. That doesn't mean that we should go ahead and commit sin. But if we do so unknowingly, he is there to defend us and intercede for us. And we do need intercessor. And as far as the Old Testament goes, if we go directly to God, people get smacked by God. Look at Exodus 32:31. Then Moses returned to the Lord and said, "Oh, these people have committed a great sin and have made for themselves a god of gold. Yet now, if you will forgive their sin, but if not, I pray, blot me out of your book which you have written." And the Lord said to Moses, "Whoever has sinned against me, I will blot him out of my book. Now, therefore, go, lead the people to the place of which I have spoken to you." Here, Moses was asking God to make his life, but God to take his life in exchange for saving his people. This is the foreshadow of coming Christ. We all want to be free from sin, but we may be tempted. We may be weak, but there is Jesus always interceding for us and defending us. Going back to Hebrews 7:25. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Jesus is able to save our lives completely when we are totally depending on him. Although the path is narrow, if we are to follow him all the way, he's able to save us. It is like if you are an athlete and get trained under a talented coach, you will surely grow. There was a coach named Mr. Oide, and he was training female marathon runners. And many people who trained with him started winning medals in international competitions. Prior to him, Japanese female marathon never won any medals from any international arenas, but his runners started winning silvers and golds. If we follow Jesus all the way, he will surely save us and lead us. But obeying his words all the way is required to walk with Jesus. Like winning a medal would have never happened if they had not followed the coach all the way. And if we remain to be rebellious and want to have our ways instead of his way, the complete salvation and transformation is not possible. As for me too, I started walking closely with the Lord only in my 40s. then I started understanding many things, and God started revealing many things to me. And I know that I am still growing, and I know that I am close to His purpose now than 10 years ago or 20 years ago. I did not do anything special, but I only did what I was told to do by the Lord, and I found myself to be where I am now. But I look back and I see that I came through a narrow path, because other people who were with me before are all gone. They all fell off the path. But obeying His word is required for this walk. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily, as though a high priest, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once for all when he offered up himself. I would like you to remember the weight of this message. As you know, when the high priest offers sacrifices, those animals were killed and then their blood is shed. Jesus did the same thing for us. He did not just lay down on the altar for a while and went home afterwards. He laid down His life and His blood was shed, and He lost His life for us as a sacrifice. So we should never forget this. And even in human relationship too, I always remember people who was nice to you. Like I remember my boss who trained me for a long time. When I used to work at this computer maker in Huchu, I was there as a contractor, and then computer was not my expertise. So in the beginning, I had many difficulties, but a manager of my section always helped me and taught me for many, many years. He was about 10 years older than me, and after some years, he was then transferred to the corporate office, and I no longer saw him, but I always remembered him, and I remained grateful for what he has done for me in all these years. And once in a while, I would see his name on some assignment sheet, and I would think that if I want to do anything to help his work. And this is only in work relationship. But Jesus Christ died for my life, not my work, for my life. And that's why I'm so grateful, and I want to serve Him in any way I can. And no one forced me to do this. I'm not competing with someone, or I'm not doing this for any organization. I don't belong to any school or organization. I'm just grateful for His work. And verse 28, for the law appoints as high priest men who have weakness. But the word of the oath, which came after the law, appoints the Son who has been perfected forever. Again, says the Levi or Aaron's priesthood was only setting the ground for Jesus to come, and Jesus is the only and the real high priest.